thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We're going to be looking at that. As promised last week, I told you this is going to be an exciting message on the subject of fasting. I kind of said that jokingly, but I do believe it can be very exciting to your life. This subject of fasting, not only just the subject of fasting, but the practice of fasting based on an understanding of God's Word and what He says about it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to deal with this. Let me kind of go through the process of what was taking place in my heart that brought us to this particular message. And it began to happen as you come up on the end of the year, and you know you're going to be faced with the new year. I know what happens to me, and is I just begin to think of new beginnings. I don't know, there's just something in me that begins to stir, and things begin to move in my heart each and every year. New beginning, it is a new year. And I think that's a natural thing for all people. I think you begin to think of it. That's why we have New Year's resolutions. That's why people begin to think, okay, this year I'm going to do things better in this area, or I want to do this that I didn't accomplish last year. So I think that's just a natural thing that begins to happen. But in my heart, it goes beyond a personal thing. I want to see things happen for you. I want to see things happen for this congregation, for this ministry. I want to see things happen for the kingdom of God. Man, we've been blessed to see a lot of good things that have happened over the years, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we cannot fall into any rut of limiting our God. You just can't limit our God. He is too big. He is too awesome. There are too many things that I know He wants to accomplish, and how's He going to accomplish them? Through His body, through His church, through His followers. We are His ambassadors. We're His children. We're His ministers. So that it's going to happen that way. So if God is that big and you can't limit Him and He has things on His heart and we're part of it, I mean, it's just a natural thing that's going to happen. I think we just need to position ourselves for those things. So as we came up on this year, I knew one of the first subjects that we have to deal with is that, boy, we've got to enter 2012 and the years ahead with faith. Because the just shall live by faith. We don't live by sight, we don't live by feeling, but what happens when you come into a walk with Christ is it's a walk of faith. You know, it's a walk of just trusting that the things you don't understand, the things that don't necessarily make sense to you at the beginning, that you trust God enough, you have faith in God enough that He knows what's going on. I don't have to know what's going on. He knows what's going on. You know, the difference in my life from the BC days to the AD days, I call them that, before Christ days for me. The difference is that there are a lot of things happening in life. I had no idea why they were happening. I had no idea if they were going to work out for me. I really didn't have any hope that it would work out. I didn't have any solid direction in my life. So since I began my walk with the Lord, it's not that things don't happen. I'm not challenged in the things I don't understand. But I've come to the realization that my hope lies in the fact that I can trust God, that I can have faith in God, that He will work it out. He loves me enough. He cares enough for me. He's big enough to work it out. If you were with us Saturday morning, men, we had a tremendous video teaching that just kind of blew me away. And simply was a video that describing the universe, the bigness of the universe, which in turn, the bigness of our God, and how that God so loved us and cared for us that He would kind of give us His attention when we have all this around us that is just so awesome. And it made me once again believe that God, not only you were awesome in what you create, but Lord, you're awesome to me to know that you're big enough to take care of me. And I guess that's what faith is. So when we look at faith, and we're going to look at it again this week, but we're going to look at it in the context of faith and fasting. Now, I've come to realize when we get into this subject and when I approach the year, the word fasting kept coming to me because if I was believing for these big things, breakthroughs in my life, I was believing for breakthroughs for you and for this congregation and breakthroughs into the heavenlies for this community and this culture that we live in. And I remember the words of Jesus that there are certain things that will not happen unless we pray and fast. So that stirred my heart. That made me realize that, boy, if we're going to start out this year right, we need to set aside a time when we as a church, we're going to call a corporate fast. But if I'm going to just call a fast, let's do a little bit of teaching on it. Let's understand why we're fasting. Let's understand the results of fasting that we should expect. So this week, we've set aside that time to teach on it and actually practice it. So this coming Friday, we're calling a corporate fast for this church. Friday will be the time. So Friday, and as I go through this, I'll give you some guidelines on how to do that. We're going to fast. You know what I like about corporate fast is this, is I know that there's someone else fasting. That when I'm in the middle of it, I just realize that, wow, you know, I'm not the only one doing this, but there are others that are doing it. And that there's an encouragement in that. And I also believe there's power in agreement. I also believe there's power in we're coming together and setting ourselves aside for this time. So then Friday night, what we're going to do is from 6 to 10 o'clock over in the prayer chapel, we're going to have a time of prayer and worship. We've done these several times throughout last year. We're going to do them again this year where you come and there are people that will be leading in worship. But it's a time of prayer and worship. Now, you can stop by for 15 minutes after work or a half hour or an hour or the whole time. But from 6 to 10, that's going to be happening in the prayer chapel. That is part of the fasting. But we're not going to limit it just to Friday. That's what we're calling for this first one. But already some people started the fast. There are some that said they're going to fast 3 days. There's some that said they're going to fast throughout the week. There are some that committed to 30 and 40 days of fasting already that I know of. So this is happening, and that's okay. You can do that, and we're going to see some things happen. I really believe we're going to see some things happening. The subject of fasting, we find it 75 times. It's mentioned 75 times in the Bible. Jesus himself, now when you think of fasting, probably your thoughts, first of all, go back to, well, that's an Old Testament thing. That's something that was done because in a ceremonial type way. And I certainly don't want to do it in a ceremonial way or a ritualistic way. No, you don't. Neither do I. But it's not just Old Testament. You can certainly read about fasting in the Old Testament, but you read about it during the life of Jesus. And not only did Jesus fast just before he went out into public ministry, and you remember the story where he went out and fasted for 40 days, he was tempted of the enemy, and then he went immediately out into his public ministry. So there was something about fasting and him moving out in the power of his ministry that were connected. But not only did he fast, but he made mention of the fact that we disciples, that his disciples and those that would follow him in the future, they would fast. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, when you fast. Not if you fast, but when you fast. In Matthew chapter 17, when the disciples had come back from ministering under the direction of the Lord, go out and minister, they came back and said, Lord, and basically I'm paraphrasing this, but he said, Lord, you told us when we pray, we're going to see things happening. We did see some things happening in ministry, but we dealt with this one particular situation where this person seemed to be demon-possessed, and we couldn't break through. And Jesus answered them this way. He said, there are certain things that will not happen unless it's fasting and prayer. So we know that there are certain situations, there are challenges in this life that you're going to face that will only be broken when you incorporate fasting with your prayer. So we know that to be the instruction. You move on in after Jesus rose and ascended into heaven, and the Apostle Paul, who's, gee whiz, he wrote most of the New Testament, gave us instructions how to live for Christ, he fasted. We're told that he fasted. The church, when they're getting ready to send someone out into ministry, or they were looking to God for answers, they fasted. So it continued through the New Testament. I don't believe it has stopped. It didn't stop in the first century, it didn't stop in the third century or the fourth, but it continues today. So there's a value to fasting. So based on the fact that there's a value to fasting, we should ask a lot of questions, and there's a lot of ways that we could approach this. But here's the subject, here's the title for today: When You Should Fast. When you should fast. As mentioned already, fasting is mentioned 75 times in the Bible. I look at fasting this way. It's like taking a ribbon and tying it around your finger to remember God. You know, we've heard of people, they tie a string around their finger. It's to remind them of something. It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know if you saw it over the... You remember Clarence, the angel, would always be tying the ribbon around. Everybody remember that? Or maybe that's over now. We should be on to something. I don't know. But tie a string around your finger to remember God. That's what fasting can do. Fasting is making space for God. Making space for God. In the busyness of our lives, I think you would agree with me, it's getting more difficult just to make space, quiet time with God. How about just quiet time? We have many challenges, so I think fasting can help us and do this. Fasting embraces something that the Bible teaches, and that is emptiness. We're to empty ourselves of self. So it embraces emptiness. Every once in a while, I think it's good to draw away and make some space for God. And when I talk about this, making space for God and fasting, we normally go to food, but I'm going to make mention of the fact that you might want to draw away from all the entertainment that the world has to offer. We get so busy with the different things, the TV and the internet and the iPhones and other smartphones and iPads and on and on and on. If you don't realize that how much we're involved in that. So I challenge us to maybe look at those things while we're fasting. Just for a time. Limit them. Anyway, I don't want this to become a legalistic thing or such a formality that we lose the focus of it. But I think it's creating a space. And you know, when you create that space, here's what we're asking. We want God to fill it. We want to create an empty space for God to come along and fill it. I believe that in fasting, we are expressing a heart that is hungry for Jesus. We're expressing something. We're positioning ourselves. I've said it once and I'll say it over and over again. I'm expecting God to surprise us this year. But I believe the best position to put yourselves in is when you make a space for God and you're saying, God, I want to see you like I've never seen you before. Reveal yourself in a new way, in a fresh way. I believe it's God's pleasure to do that. He's looking for the opportunities. Now, during this time, we have to be careful of our motives. There are right motives and there are wrong motives, and definitely there are people who approach fasting in wrong motives. Let me give you an example. Back in the Old Testament, there are several examples like this. There was an infamous name, Jezebel. She was the wife of Ahab, the king. And the Bible says that she fasted for one purpose, so that Naboth, who owned a piece of ground that she wanted her husband to have, would die. Now, how many know that's a wrong reason? So if you have an enemy and you're fasting for them to be done away with, that's wrong motive. Okay? I just want to clear that up in case anyone saying, well, if there's so much power in fasting, maybe I could... No, you can't. Wrong motives, I would classify them like this: for selfish gain. Don't fast for selfish gain. Don't fast to manipulate. Don't fast and give God an ultimatum during your fast. Now, I wrote this down. I want to be careful. I want you to be able to hear it at least. Fasting is not getting God to do what you want him to do. Fasting is about getting God to do what he wants to do in every circumstance in your life. Should I say that again? Fasting is not getting God to do what you want him to do, but it's about getting God to do what he wants to do in every circumstance in your life. Lord, here I am. I'm creating a space. Lord, I want to empty myself of self. I want to set myself aside so that, Lord, you can begin to accomplish things in my life. Maybe you've been trying to do, and now there's the space for you to be able to do them. And expect God to reveal some things to you. So you have to have the right motive. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story about two men that are mentioned. One is a tax collector and the other is a Pharisee. And both of them wanted to know about eternal life. They wanted eternal life. The Pharisee said this. He said, I fast twice a week. He said, I give a tithe, a tenth of all my income. The tax collector, he approached the Lord like this. He said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me. You see the difference in those? One came with a prideful, self-righteous attitude, and even though he fasted twice a week and gave a tenth of his money, listen, that was not the qualification for God to send results and reward. But you know what it was? A humble heart. So as we go to the Lord, let's go in humility, emptied of self. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and deny yourself. So there's a denying in this. It's humbling ourselves so that God can promote us in his time. I don't think there's one of us in here that is not asking for protection from God, seeking protection for ourselves, for our children, over our businesses, over other family members. I think we're all praying for someone to be saved. I know several of my family members, I want God to move on their hearts yet. Several of my friends, I want to see freedom, wisdom. Who doesn't need wisdom in today's world? Favor, help us with these overwhelming problems or might be unhealthy habits in our life that we can't seem to break loose from. I believe there's fasting can do it. We're facing circumstances that are just too overwhelming for us. I think fasting can accomplish some of these things. Now, here's a real key. Fasting with expectation of results. When you go and fast, I think we need to expect God to answer our prayers. He made it very clear. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We put it up here so we can look at it together. This is a verse on faith that's found in the faith chapter. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must not only believe that he is, but that he is what? Say it with me. A rewarder. Say it again. A rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. So there's a diligence about a seeker. Listen, when you're fasting in prayer, you're positioning yourself. You're being diligent. You're saying, God, I'm denying myself. I'm emptying myself so that you can fill it. But their faith is that expectation, God, I believe you're going to reward this fast. With a right heart, with right motives, that's the way we go to God. Based on biblical purposes, God's going to reward fasting. In the book of Ezra, chapter 8 and verse 21, you might just want to make a little note of this. They fasted for three things, as far as I can see there. And they fasted for protection of their children. They fasted for their possessions. And they fasted for divine direction. And listen what the Lord said. God gave them what they fasted for. God gave them what they fasted for. So we need to believe. As we head out on this fast, as we think about the things where we need breakthroughs in, we're believing that God's going to reward us. There's going to be results. I expect results. Now, here's what I believe can happen, is that when you focus on the results of the reward of fasting, it's going to help you because you're not going to focus so much on the hunger part. You see, while you're fasting, you're going to get hungry. Guaranteed, you're going to get hungry. You're going to be challenged in that area. But if you keep the results in front of you, if you're expecting these results and you see them, so you say, God, listen, I'm looking for a breakthrough in my life. I haven't been free in that area, and I'm believing through this fast, I'm going to see a breakthrough. Listen, that should outweigh the hunger. It should at least take away the edge from it and help us to go on. So focus. Here's what I would say. Figure out why you're going to fast. Figure out why you're going to fast. And you can do this. Fast for a specific desire. Write it down. List them. Now you say, well, man, I don't fast much, so if I'm going to fast, here's my list, God. You know, there's so much on that list. So, well, no, narrow it down. Really take some time and say, God, there are three specific things, Lord, that I want to see as a result of this fasting. And you list them down, write them down, keep them before you, remind yourself, focus in on them while you're praying. And see if God doesn't move. Now, that brings us to Isaiah chapter 58. I want to look at Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to look at the verses 6 through 12. There are a lot of verse chapters that we could have chosen when it comes to the area talking about fasting. But this one, to me, really gives us what I would call the list of what you can expect. The Lord is very clear, and here's what you can expect when you fast. And it takes us from verse 6 to verse 12. And I'm just going to walk us through and make mention of every one of them. First of all, in verse 6, it says that when you fast, it will loose the bands of wickedness. It's going to loose the bands of wickedness. What are bands? Bands are things that hold you back. Bands are things that stop you from advancing in your walk with God. You go so far, but you're held back. There's something holds you back. It's like having a band tied around you, and you kind of move out, and it's easier when that band is not so tight, but you keep moving, all of a sudden that band is stretched still and pulls you back again. If anyone ever had to go through some surgery or something where you had to work yourself back into getting your muscles, you use those bands, and you pull on those bands to get a picture of that when it happens. You can't break through into what God has for you. Fasting breaks you free and allows you to advance in what God has for you. Second of all, in that same verse, it says that fasting will undo the heavy burdens. Will undo the heavy burdens. So many people are burdened down by so many things. Jesus noticed it on the people. He said, listen, he said, take my yoke upon you. He said, because I think he realized you're just so burdened down with things. Burdened down means that you're discouraged. And to undo, here's the key word there, to undo. The word undo means to tear off. So through fasting, you're going to tear off, but it literally means violently pull them off. God said, when you fast, I will violently pull the heavy burdens off you. The things that have been oppressing you, making you feel helpless and hopeless, fasting will undo those burdens. Another thing fasting will do is it'll set the oppressed free. The oppressed will go free. Oppressed meaning the discouraged, the bruised, the wounded. And this happens to everybody. I mean, you just walk and do life. And what happens, you end up getting discouraged because something didn't come through that needed to come through for you. Or you're bruised because of a relationship that you had with someone. You're wounded because of a conflict that arose between you. It could be a family member or someone else. It could have been with the church, someone right within the walls of the church. But for whatever reason, discouraged and bruised and wounded, fasting can free you of that. Here's the word picture for someone who is oppressed. It's like a vase. If you picture a vase, it's cracking up. And the word picture here is that vase that is cracked, that God is going to set people free who are cracking up or falling apart. He'll put things back together, marriages, life itself, finances. He's going to put them back together. Yesterday, Cheryl was finishing taking down our decorations in the house, and there was one particular angel. It was a ceramic piece, and it was something her mother had made, so it was kind of special to her, and it broke. She dropped it, and it broke, and the wing fell off it, and the tip of the wing fell off it, too. So she put it on my desk, and I knew what that meant, that I'm to fix it. So I do have this super glue in my desk there, and yesterday I found myself in the midst of my studying, I was putting this wing back on the angel, and I was putting the tip of it back on, and it put back together. It looked like it never had been broken. You know, I believe that God can put us back together like we've never been broken. Fasting can put us there. That can happen. God wants to do that. And I believe that as we begin to fast, these breakthroughs begin to come. These healings begin to come as we set our hearts to fasting. Another thing it says fasting will do is break every yoke. Yoke is a bondage. Yoke is a bad habit. Is it something that could be destroying you physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually? God said, when you fast, he said, I can break those bad habits. Those things that are keeping you in bondage, hindering your walk. I believe that one of the things that God wants to set us free is from any addictions or things like that. Things that we're bound to. I believe fasting can break the addiction of alcohol, nicotine, pornography. I mean, these are things, these are yokes. God is able to break every yoke and set you free. I think if anything discourages me, here's what discourages me, is to see believers in Jesus Christ all bound up. Because I don't know, there's something I know. I know that God wants to heal. I know that God wants to deliver. I'm not minimizing anyone's struggles or hurts, but you see, there's greater power. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The God that we serve is greater. He can heal us. He can bring deliverance from us. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I mean, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and the breakthrough that came at that particular moment and the power that raised Jesus from the dead, don't you think he can deliver us from our addictions? Absolutely. And he wants to deliver us. He wants to set us free. Verse 7 goes on to tell us another thing about fasting. And this is just one of those practical things thrown in here. You will give bread to the hungry. You know, just for the very fact that you fasted, you saved some money. I don't know how much. You know, there's some people I know that have said, listen, I'm going to stay away from coffee for a month. So $3 a day, 30 days, $90, I'm going to give this to the poor. Why not? I believe that's how practical this is. Give it to the poor. So you might be fasting. If you're fasting one day, I don't know, does it cost you $10 for groceries that day? Give $10 to the poor. I believe it's doing something that it's in the heart of God. And there are lots of places to give that. If you want to give it here, market benevolence. Specifically, we have a lot of needs right within this body. Every week we are going through the needs and trying to meet them. We'll make sure it goes, 100% of it, to the poor. But that's a practical thing when we're fasting. Verse 8 talks about another reward here, another benefit of fasting. This is a good one. Your light will break forth as the morning sun. Your light will break forth as the morning sun. You ever wake up and see that morning sun come up? It just changes the landscape totally. It goes from darkness to light, and there's this progression as it shines brighter and brighter. To me, what this is saying here is, while you're fasting, expect this. Expect God to shine light of revelation on questions that you've had in your life. How about direction? How about answers that you're looking for? How about just decisions that you're looking to make that when you fast, you say, God, I've got this decision to make. Help me make this decision. Like a light, like the sun coming up in the morning, all of a sudden it will come to you. A revelation. Wow, I see it. That's what fasting can do. God's going to give light on the situation. He goes on to say that my health will spring forth. How many would like a healing in their health? I believe fasting. A result of fasting is healing. My righteousness will go before you. The glory of God will be your rear guard. Two things here. Two shields. Shields of protection that guard you from the frontal attack and a rear guard that stops anything from your past hindering you. We need protection on both ends as we move forward and from the things from the past of hindering us from going on. Verse 9 says that fasting you shall call on the Lord. He will answer and say, here I am. Here I am. I'm going to expect that when I fast. When you fast, it does something to your prayers. You get answers. In verse 10, it goes on to say, your light will rise out of obscurity. The word obscurity there means darkness, but more than darkness, it means failures. That your light will rise out of obscurity or darkness. Your darkness will be as the noonday. So the light will give hope. It will give encouragement to you that no matter how many times you missed it or blew it in 2011, a year's past, it's going to be different. It's going to be different this year. Out of obscurity means you will no longer walk in darkness. In verse 11, it says that fasting, that the Lord shall guide you continually. Boy, that's a good one. Man, do I need God's guidance continually. And, you know, the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord. And when I fast, I can trust that God, you're going to guide me continually. I'm going to hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. Turn to the right, turn to the left, stop, go. I want that in 2012. It'll satisfy your soul in drought. It'll make your bones fat. You'll be like a watered garden, waters that won't fail. In other words, your needs are going to be supplied. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. And when you set your heart to fasting, you empty yourself. You put yourself in a position of humility before the Lord and say, Lord, man, I want you more than anything else. I think fasting can bring this kind of direction in your life. God's resources won't dry up. Yesterday when I was writing out this message and kind of thinking about it again for the, 40th time, there was just something that came to me. I wrote this just at the top of my notes here. When you fast, you can focus on God's provision, not the world's decisions. That's how it came to me. You know, the world is trying to make decisions for you. The world is trying to dictate which way you're going to go. And the things that are happening in the world, if we're not careful, and if we get caught up in the business and only see what the world has to offer, they're going to make decisions on how your attitude is going to be in 2012. The world will make, the economy will make decisions on how much you're going to trust or not trust God. So rather than let the world make your decisions, focus in on God's provisions. I believe fasting will help us do that. God will provide for us. And look at verse 12 there. He goes on to say, as he's wrapping up the results and rewards of fasting, he said, I'll use you to build the old waste places. Something will happen. The old waste places. Those things that have been discarded or things that people have dictated or said about you, the old ways. In other words, he's going to put you in a position where you're going to minister into the old waste places. That might be for you personally. That might be for someone in your family. But fasting helps you do that. Now, let me shift gears here for the latter part of this message. Here's in Nehemiah chapter 9. I'm going to bring Nehemiah chapter 9 up here on the screen, verses 1 through 3. And here's what we want to look at. Five ways to make good use of your fast. If you're going to fast, and we see the benefits of the fast, here are five ways that you can make good use of your fast. The children of Israel were assembled with fasting. It says that Israel then separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood and they confessed their sins, and they read from the book, and then they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. There are five things. Let's pull five things out of there that'll be helpful to us. Number one, when they fasted, they gathered themselves together. That's what we're going to do on Friday night. We're going to gather ourselves together. But here's a suggestion for you. Get a buddy and fast with them. It could be your mate. It could be a friend from work, could be a friend from the church, could be someone in your men's group or your women's group or your small group. But fast with someone, you know there's going to be several people fasting. You know, this helps one another. When you're having a Big Mac attack, you know, about 6:30 in the evening or something like that, that, you know, you could, you know that your buddy is fasting, and maybe you could call him up and say, hey, let's pray, you know, for one another. I think just the very fact that you gather together, and they gathered them together when they were corporately fasting. The second thing they did is they said they separated from the foreigners or strangers. I looked at it this way. I don't think we need to separate ourselves from all people that are unbelievers and find a cave, and that's where we're going to fast. I think that's how you had a whole movement that drew us away from God's purposes. But separating from the strangers or foreign things, the non-believing influences that are all around us. And here's where I said I would come back on it. There are all kind of what I would call non-believing influences around us. Not that they're so negative, but we need to limit those influences. And again, the TV, the entertainment, the internet, the texting, the constant emails that we get. Be careful. Don't contaminate your fast by letting these things take up that space that you're trying to create for God to come in. Does that make sense? I don't think there's anything legalistic about this law. I think it's just common sense that every once in a while this will be healthy for us. Give us that rest from that constant pressure to be busy and stay informed and all this. Listen, if we want to be informed, let's be informed by God and His Spirit. We have limited Him. God can speak to us. You talk about someone being up to date. Not only does God know what's going on now, He knows what's going on in the future. And He wants to reveal those things to you and lead you into those green pastures. So separate yourselves from those things for a while. Let it be God's time in your life. Spend it with Him. Third thing they did, they confessed sins. This is a good time just to be open with God. During your fasting, I believe that God will begin to show you some things. Maybe it's some unconfessed sin. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe there's anger. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a relationship that you have just, you know, trampled over and you haven't done anything to reconcile with it. I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's just a habit or something, but it's the time just to say, God, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. Not only forgive us, but cleanse us. How'd you like to come out of this cleansed? You know, just feeling free from any unconfessed sin, an attitude or something like that. The fourth thing they did is that they spent time in God's Word. Spend extra time in this book. This is God's Word. You say, well, you know, I read that Bible sometimes and I don't understand it. Listen, even if you don't understand it, during your fasting time, get it out and just read it. Let the Holy Spirit do something in your heart. Something very unusual happened to me when I got saved in 1971. When I got saved and I began to walk with the Lord, I was kind of out in California by myself, away from those who introduced me to Christ. And while I was there, I remember something happened to me, and it was just a very unusual thing. I never had touched the Bible. I was 24 years old. I was in the Marine Corps, just finishing up months of my duty, and I never read the Bible, but someone gave me a Bible, and there was a voice that spoke to me and said, I want you to stop eating for 30 days and read the Bible. I didn't even know what the voice was. I just knew I was supposed to do it. Since then, I've learned it was the Holy Spirit. But I was coming out of so much junk in my life. My experiences with drugs, my experience, bad experience in Vietnam and return from Vietnam and all that crazy experience of the 60s. You know what God was doing? I was being transformed by the renewing of my mind. God's Word was cleansing my mind and my heart. And that's what can happen. I truly believe that while you're fasting, spend some extra time in God's Word. Let the Word of God cleanse your mind and your heart, renew you, fill you with the promises, extra time. And then the last thing here, went back into confession, but it was more than just confession. It was confession linked with worship. The word confession here means proclamation with worship. Begin to look at the promises of God and begin to proclaim them over your life. Begin to proclaim them over your family. Let me give you an example. Find a promise in the Word. Maybe take some time, and while you're in the Word of God, all of a sudden there's some promises that jump out. Begin to speak that promise over your life. Lord, you said that if I put you first, seek you first, and the kingdom of God first, you'll supply all my needs according to these things. You're going to make sure that all my daily needs are taken care of. Lord, I believe that. I speak that over my family. Lord, you said if I tithe and if I give my 10%, that you'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that I can't contain. Speak the word of God through worship and proclamation of the word of God. Now, let me kind of wrap up where we've been on this, and I want to just talk about one more thing, and then we're gonna stand and pray. Matter of fact, why don't you stand right now? As I look at when we should fast, there's one more thing I want to add to it, but it's kind of in conclusion before I pray for you. There are just some challenges in this world. You can't do them on your own. There are no answers that are going to come from your resources. There's not enough wisdom in this world to handle some of the things that you're faced with. That's a reason to fast. If your back's against the wall, you've tried everything in the book, but it just hasn't worked. Fast. Fast in faith, believing that God's going to send an answer. When you're facing danger, when the enemy seems to be coming in like a flood, seems like he's just taking hold of your family and destroying some relationships or leading one of your children down the wrong road, man, that's the time to fast. That's the time to humble ourselves before the Lord, because we're emptying ourselves. We're saying, God, we don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom. And Lord, we know there's an enemy out there working against our family. There's an enemy out there working against my business and my finances. So you set your heart to fasting, and you're calling on the Mighty One. You're calling on the God of creation to intervene and step into your life. Listen, you want to see the enemy flee, let God show up. We sang that song today, The Great I Am. I hope you got a hold of it. That's a great song, The Great I Am. He's everything you need. For whatever you need. When you're appalled by society, and you know, as believers, we need to be appalled. We need to see that the things that are happening around us, they tear at our heart, because you see, they grieve God's heart. So that's a time to fast when, Lord, things don't seem to be working out. We've got some big decisions to make as a country coming up. The world is in disarray, and just all these things, Lord. We want to see you change our world. We want to see you bring spiritual awakening to our world. We want to see you bring revival to the hearts of the people that call on your name. You see, you're appalled by the things you see. Don't be so judgmental about it. Pray about it. I want to pray about it more. So all kind of reasons. Let me pray for you that this week will be a time when you enter in to a special place with God.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.